Well, again, we have entered into another year, the year 2020. And there is a degree of fascination and excitement about a new year. We have no idea what's going to happen. We certainly know there will be possibilities ahead of us. There are opportunities to serve the Lord. There will no doubt also be difficulties and trials. But even in them, there will be an opportunity to prove the Lord and His goodness towards us. A year is the beginning of a new year, as I said, is an exciting time, but it's also a very solemn time, and for this reason, it reminds us afresh that time continues to pass by. 2019, believe it or not, has come and it's gone. Time just marches past. And thinking about that just the week gone past, you know, time is something we can't control anyway. We can't take a hold of time and reverse it. I suppose like sand in our hands, you have a handful or two of sand and you try to hold it, but it keeps running through your fingers. All you can do is hold a little bit in the palm of your hand. That's like our life. We can only hold the second that we're in, the hour that we're in, the day that we're in, and we must hold it and use it to the best of our ability, for it will soon pass by. We can't slow time down. We can't change its pace, but this we can do. We can choose how we spend our time. God gives us a day. That day will start and it will be beginning no matter what you do. It will proceed, but you are constantly making choices right throughout that day as to how you spend it. We can either use our life and our time wisely, or we can waste it. Now, whether you use it wisely or wastefully, it's still going to go past you either way. Life for all of us begins in the womb. And then we're born into the world. And then eventually we start primary school and then secondary school, and you might go to college or you might have an apprenticeship, and then you go out and you work, and you work for whatever decades that the Lord gives you strength to do, and then you retire and you spend those retirement years as long again as God gives you, and then we enter into our rest or into our eternal torment depending on your life with God. But life comes. And life will come to an end. And we need to make sure, men and women, this is the burden of the message today, that bit in between from when you begin to when you finish, that bit in between, you are responsible before God for how you use it. You will someday answer to God for how you used all of those decades, whatever He gives you. I trust for everyone here, you'll be able to say, in that lifetime, I repented of my sin. I sought the Lord for salvation. And we stand before God. We stand before God's repentant sinners. Listen, what if God gave you 70 years? What if God gave you 80 years? And in those 80 years, never once did you bow the knee and plead with God to forgive you and save you. What an awful way to stand before God. But if you are saved, and you are redeemed, and you are washed in His blood, and yet, whatever length of time God gives you, you give that, you take that block of life and you use it to, I don't know, watch TV, just build bigger houses, just entertainment, and you waste it. You've read with me the parable before us. There were three men. And the master gave to each man a particular talent. It was something that the master gave for these men to use wisely for the advancement of the master. That was the idea. Take this money. It was his money. And he gave it to the three servants. And the idea was, you go and you invest it, use it wisely, that I might get good returns. And for you and me this morning, for every one of us, God has given you life. He's given you time. And that's there for you to invest and for you to use wisely for the glory of God. And I need to ask you, how are you using your time? What about 2019? How did you use it? and you waste it. Has it come and gone? You'll never get it back again, but you will give account to God for how you spent 2019 the rest of your life. That brings me to this very simple wee illustration. It's not mine. I've seen it before online, but I thought it was quite helpful. I want to share it with you. Let's think about our time and how you spend your year. Some people will spend their time, unfortunately, they'll waste their time. Think of it like this. I have three different things here. I have stones. The bigger, the more important. I have large stones. A large stone can speak about using your time wisely, the big things in life, worshiping God, your salvation, your family, your job. Those are big things in life. Slightly smaller things may have a degree of importance, but they're not that big of a deal. And then you have the sand, very fine, very small. That's the things in life that are of little or no importance at all. Now, take this cup, this glass. That represents one 24-hour day. Or if you want, you can make it represent a year. It could be 2019. And how could your day, or how could 2019 be summed up for you? Might it be that you spent the most of it in the things of life that don't really matter? Let's put a cupful of sand in there. That's what your year was about. That was your priority. The most important thing about your year was just chilling out and relaxing and doing the things you like. That could be silly things like computer games, watching TV, social media. When you got up in the morning, that's the first thing you thought about every single day. And when you did what you wanted to do, you thought, well, I've got a lot more time left here, so I can do maybe a little bit more. And so you threw in a little bit more, maybe games or TV or whatever you care to mention. Now, everybody, of course, has their responsibilities that they have to take care of. It might be tasks around the house and just things you have to do. Let's throw a cupful in. A cupful of things that are fairly important, fair enough, that have to be done. All right? Now, it comes to the big things in life. What about your job? What about your family? Well, you need to take care of those things. Have you room for them? Just about. Just about. And that's your life. And then perhaps at the end of the day or the end of the year, you're thinking, well, I need to go on with God. I want to grow. I want to serve the Lord. But what have you found? There's no room. And so you don't go to church. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray because your day is done. You've wasted it. Primarily because of your lack of ability to prioritize what's most important. So let's do it the other way around. Let's take the godly individual. You rise in the morning. A new year begins. And you're thinking about your walk with God. That's the important thing. The most important thing. And it goes in first. Plenty of room for it. And then you have the other things in life. It might be your family. It might be your job, whatever the case may be. There's plenty of room for it. You see, people often say, I don't have time for religion. I don't have time for God. I don't have time to read my Bible and pray and be in God's house. No, you do. You do. It's a question of priority. But there's still room here. And there is no doubt. There are things that we all have to do in life, and the Lord permits us to do them. Things that are still important to us. They pour in a cup of things that are reasonably important. And they all fit in nicely. There's still room there. What about room for, let's say, your social media? Or even chilling out with a wee bit of time to watch TV? You still have time. And look how much room's left. All I've done is this. It's all about priority. You put the big things in first. You'll find that you'll have time for all the wee fittery things as well. It's all about how you use your time. And I want to ask you, which one depicts your year? Is it this one? Or is it this one? Putting God first. Considering your walk with Him and your love for Him and your service for Him.
If not, what you'll find is your year will pass or your day will pass and you have no time to read, no time to pray. It's not that you don't have enough time. You do. You just have your priorities wrong. Let's come back to our text. In Matthew 25, I find it interesting here. The Lord makes it very clear in verse 15. And on to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. And the Lord was giving each man what he needed and what he had the ability to use. You see, men and women, God gives us what we need to serve him. The Lord gives us what we're able to handle. And so when we stand at the end of the day, I had no time to pray, I had no time to read, I had no time to serve God, it's not the fact that God's giving you too much. It's the fact of how you're using your time. And so, very simply this morning, I believe it's God's will to challenge us on the wise use of our time. First this morning, only two thoughts I want to leave with you. First this morning, we ought to plan our time. I think that's sensible. You see, two of these men were called good and faithful servants. Why? Because they made good use of the five and two talents respectively. They studied. They considered how they could make best use of what their Lord gave them. They didn't just randomly, all of a sudden, by chance, as it were, double what God had given them. Not at all. What their master gave them. They had to go and think and consider and analyze what's the best way I can use my time. And they planned and prepared, studied, invested, and used what God gave them productively. Now think about our time that God has given to each of us. I know we often read that passage and we think about talents and gifts. And that's fair enough. That's a fair application from this. But what you have in this passage is God making the point that he gives to everyone gifts to use for his glory. And God has given us all gifts here this morning. I mean the gift of time. There's no doubt about that. He gives to each of us the gift of time. And time passes by. You know, it's comical sometimes when you talk to children and then you talk to adults. Children, when they're talking about their life, they'll talk about last week. And they might even talk about last month. Or they might even go back as far as last year. The rest of us, we're talking about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, maybe 60 years ago. And it feels like yesterday. Time passes by quickly. And you know, when I look around just at our society today, and you think of the great demand there is for television, and you think of the great demand there is for computer games, and the great demand there is for all of those things that really don't profit in any way. Okay, I'm not against here using social media and computer games. You know, you have time. Like I said in the illustration, there is time. We can have time to relax and chill. That's fine, but it cannot be the priority. Yet when I look at society, I see this huge demand over entertainment. This, as it were, unending desire for things that are of no worth. I have to conclude that most of our society is like the wicked servant. The wicked servant who just buried his gift in the ground and there it lay, producing nothing. I think that, sadly, describes our society. And what happens to someone who takes their life, the gift that God gave them, and they just bury it in the ground and they use it in no way for their master? What happens to them? Go to the end of the passage which we read together. Verse 26 is where the Lord addresses the servant, I should say, first of all. Verse 26, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Verse then 30, it says here, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God gave you time.
You threw it away. God gave you the opportunity to serve Him, to live for Him, that you might enter into a reward as the other men show. But this slothful servant, he dealt poorly with what God had given, what his master had given him. And so the Lord says, well, I'll take away all blessings, all favors, all grace. And he throws him into this place which clearly describes hell to you and me. Outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when we did our study of hell all that time ago, you remember, I'm sure, we dealt with that text. And it makes it very clear, a place of the darkness of darkness, where there is weeping. That's the, you know, it's the overwhelming expression of the heart, where you can do nothing else but weep. You're so broken and you can't keep it back. You know what it's like. Sometimes there's situations in life and they're tearful and they're sad and you try to hold it in, but eventually you're overcome by it and all you can do is weep out of helplessness. That's the idea there. Weeping out of helplessness in hell forevermore. But on the other side, that gnashing of the teeth, and that always refers to anger, frustration. What an awful way to spend your life and then spend your eternity wasting your time, and then God gives your eternity away to hell. Now, I'll be wise this morning, dear unsaved, but for those of us who are saved, we also can have some of these qualities of the wicked servant. Remember the word slothful there, thy wicked and slothful servant. Listen, you might be saved, redeemed, thankful, praising God, but still, there is way too much of the sand in our life. Way too much, far too much of the things in life that are pretty much pointless. And we give them too high a priority on our list each and every day. Let me take you to a verse of the Bible here. It's Job 9. It's an unusual wee verse. Job 9, the verse 5. And here, it deals with life and the passing of time. Job 9, verse 25, sorry. Now, he says, my days are swifter than a post. Now, the idea of post there, it, believe it or not, literally means a postman. The same word is used in 2 Chronicles, where there was a man who had the responsibility of going to the neighboring towns and delivering the post or delivering a message. All right. And what he's saying here is that my life is swifter than the postman. And the idea is, how long does a postman spend with you in the morning? Okay, he comes to your door, puts it through the letterbox and goes on. It passes very quickly. And he says to him, my life's like this. It passes quickly. Verse 25, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. The idea there is the wickedness of his day and so on and so forth. But life passes us by so, so quickly. And how foolish it would be then to use it in the things in life that are of little or absolutely no profit. Go to Ephesians 5 with me, a very important verse on this subject. Ephesians 5, I want you to turn there. The verse 16. Ephesians 5. The verse 16. Now you see this verse this morning for what it is. It's coming from God. To you, believer, particularly this morning, verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now you know what redemption means. It's the process by which you buy something or you claim something to be yours. And the idea of this text is this. We're redeeming time. What does that mean? Well, it means by zeal and by enthusiasm. You lay hold of every minute. Of every day, when you arise up, this is the day I want to do something. I want to serve God. I want to live. I want to use it wisely. It's laying hold of something.
As it were, you're buying it. When you go into the shop, you pass over your money and you lay hold of that thing. By zeal and by enthusiasm, then lay hold of the time that God gives you.
And the verse goes on to say, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
The word evil there, it comes from the word that means pain. The days are painful.
What does that mean? Well, you know, sometimes, rightly or wrongly, isn't the point right now, but sometimes people will say that somebody else is a real pain.
That boy down the road is a real pain.
And what does that mean? We mean by that is a nuisance, okay?
His presence, his activity, just as like obstacles set before us, just makes life difficult. He's a pain.
That's the idea of the text.
There are many pains in life, many obstacles, many problems, many difficulties. And so, don't be surprised when you enter in 2020 and there's difficulties straight away. Expect them. All the more reason then to press hard into the year and to take every moment where we can serve God and use it well. Don't spend it on the sand,
on the things of little or no profit. Every year, and if God gives us this whole year, we will have 8,760 hours. That's how many hours you have in a year. 8,760. And I know everyone has different talents and gifts and ability, but this thing we all have the same. We all have 8,760 hours. We all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours in a day without any exception. And what do we do with it? Is the question. Do you know, this year has already begun, as you know. And you will, and you have, believe it or not, you've spent the first 115 hours of this year. First 115 are gone. And then you'll spend approximately 2,555 hours in bed. I hope your bed's comfortable. Actually, I hope it's not comfortable and you might not spend so much time in it. But anyway, if you sleep 7 hours in every 24-hour period, that's 2,500 hours you'll spend in bed. That sounds horrific. And so, in the year that lies ahead of us, of waking hours, we only have 6,090 left. A year, 8,760, but of waking hours that still remain, we only have 690 left. Do you know it's only 47 weeks until the 1st of December? 47 weeks. It's nothing. Time passes by quickly. So what are we to do? We ought to plan. We ought to take what God has given us, another year in His will, if He permits us to see it all. But we ought to plan how we use it wisely and well. Now, on that very theme, go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16. And Proverbs 16 has some things to say about time. Proverbs 16, first of all, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So here's a chapter, and a few of the verses that speak about time and our use of time. And yet here in verse 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord. And we ought to plan. We ought to prepare how we use the year, and then commit it to the Lord. I think it's a good thing. If you've opportunity, perhaps last thing at night or first thing in the morning, to sit down and jot how you're going to use your day. Your tasks that you must do. The things that you should do. The things that will advance the kingdom of God. Like the glass there. If you sit down in the morning and your list begins with, well, I want to spend an hour of watching TV. And then maybe another half hour. I mean, I've got 12 hours of day here. I'll take an hour, maybe 2 hours to watch TV, an hour for computer games, another hour just to sit around and do nothing.
Before you know it, your day will be gone. But if you take your list and you begin the day, hour with God. Maybe half an hour in the morning, maybe half an hour at night, or maybe three times throughout the day, you break it up, whatever way it works for you. You put in that big, most important thing. And then comes your maybe job or whatever the case may be. You're filling your day properly. Prioritizing. We all have enough time. We must prioritize what's most important. And verse 3 makes it clear. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Pray about it. Commit it to Him. And thy thought shall be established. That's what the verse says. If you go on down then to the verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Again, here's a chapter that deals with time in several verses. But verse 9 here, it says we can devise our ways. We can sit down and make our plans and our preparations. But it's the Lord that directs our steps. And so you might have plans for the year to come. You might have plans for today. Sometimes God will redirect you. Be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. I know there's plenty of days I sit down and make my plans for the day. And let's just say they don't always come to fruition. Other things step in. It might be family. It might be health. It could be different things. You need to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. Maybe what you plan to do isn't what God would have you to do. And that's fine. But let's make good use of our time. Let's make plans and preparation to use what God has given us to the best of our ability. And if the Lord leads in all directions, well then good. That's using your time wisely. Very quickly here, and I suppose time is gone, but go with me again to Ephesians. We just left Ephesians 5. We thought about planning our time, but what about evaluating your time? All right. Ephesians 5, verse 16, we read it together, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now verse 15, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Remember the parable the Lord told about these wise and faithful and good servants in contrast to the foolish, slothful, unfaithful servant? The Lord says, don't live your life foolishly, but evaluate, consider what you have done wrong and how are you going to improve it for the year that comes. Think about 2019, genuinely. Sit down and think. How much time did I spend each day in prayer? How much time did I spend? And it's good for you even to take a little note of how much time you spend in prayer every day. And why not for this year endeavor to double that every day? Your evangelism, your serving the Lord, your time in God's house. Maybe in 2020 you'll be able to double what you did last year if you prioritize. Evaluate what you've done before God. For on the day of judgment, that's what the Lord's doing. He's judging how you spent your time. Can I say as well, is it possible to obtain more time? We can organize what time we have. We can seek to spend it well. But is it possible to get more time? Well, we all know that God determines our time. Scripture makes that clear. In the communion service, I'll read a verse with you, and that's exactly what it means. God determines our time, but the Scripture makes it clear that God can also increase it. Let me show you a couple of verses just to defend that. If you go with me again, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law. But let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Obedience here. Obedience, it's saying in this verse, breeds long life and blessing. Let's go on to verse 16. Length of days. This is referring to wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Go to chapter 10. of Proverbs. And the verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And the Lord's made it clear in these verses that godliness, Christ-likeness. Listen, if you're a believer here, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and praying, "Oh Lord, help me to be obedient. Give me length of days. Give me 2020. Give it all to me that I may spend it reaching others for Christ. That I may spend it extending the kingdom of God. Lord, give me the talent, the gift of time, that before I enter into glory, I will have accomplished more for thee. I will have done more for thee." If we time, we go to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah prayed, "Lord, you know, add to my days, give me life." And the Lord added 15 years onto him. Now, he didn't spend those 15 years wisely in some respects. But let me tell you, the Lord gives us time. And yet we have these examples of time being increased. But we ought to use whatever God gives us wisely and for His glory. Just in closing, James 4:14, you know it. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away." That's how God describes your life. A vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. And here's the challenge this morning. What would the Lord who has entrusted you with another year, how would He have you to spend it? How would He have you spend today? I'm not asking you how you want to spend it. I'm asking you, how would the Lord who gave you this time, how would He have you spend it? That's how it must face every day. He'd want you to invest it in the kingdom of God, to use it productively, and to spend time with Him in prayer, in study, pursuing God. He's the one who gave you, and God has given you every day for a reason. That you might know Him, that you might serve Him, like these wise servants, that you would indeed take the talents that God gives you, invest them wisely for the advancement of your Master's kingdom. Well then, God's word there. I trust it will be a challenge to us. It's a very practical message this morning, exceptionally practical on how we use the time that God gives to us. Please take your hymn books. Before we sing this hymn, we'll pray. And then we're going to sing the hymn. And for those who need to go, that's okay. We can go after the first hymn. And for those of you who are able to stay, please do so. And we will observe the Lord's table immediately after we sing this hymn. 726, another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting another year with Thee. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving Thy presence all the days. We want to dedicate our life or year or days to the Lord, that we might leave this life saying we have spent it in the kingdom, for the kingdom and the glory of God.